Hello and welcome to episode 5 of Ponderings in Pyjamas. I'm Emily.
I'm Amy.
As always. And as always, I'm in pyjamas.
I'm not in pyjamas. This is a kind of running theme now.
Maybe the next one we should do at your house.
Yeah, and then I would definitely be in pyjamas at my house, yeah.
As would I. So, in recognition of International Women's Day, which is the 8th of March...
Also my mum's birthday.
Happy birthday, Julie. If you're listening.
Which I doubt she is.
Yeah, I don't think our parents listen to us. We have taken the time to think about all the women that inspire us. Mm-hmm. And very difficultly chosen 2 each that we're going to speak about today.
Yeah.
We've decided to go a bit further afield than our sort of families and people we know personally. Because at the end of the day, one of us could pick a filmmaker or musician and the other person could pick their gran who lived through the war and just make the other person feel bad about their choices. Yeah. We both have very inspirational and strong women in our families and we know that women we know in our everyday lives. So we'll let them know how we feel about them next time we see them.
Yeah. And I think I've kind of gone for people that aren't very well known, I don't think. I'd heard of these people, but I didn't know a massive amount about them. So it was nice for me to kind of look into and find out more about these people.
And the way I approached it is I thought about the people who sort of enter into my mind sort of on an everyday basis if I'm deciding to do some writing. If I'm watching something, if I'm listening to something, and they're always sort of...
inspiring you in your kind of everyday pursuits.
Yeah, exactly. So who I tend to know quite a bit about, not in a creepy way. and we don't know who the other one is.
Yeah, so this will be an interesting discussion, I think. I'm excited.
Okay, so...
Do you want to go first or should I go first?
You go first because you're number one.
Let me open up my note document. So my first person, and I'm really sorry if I say these names wrong, Mary Whitton Calkins. Okay. I would imagine that's how you say it. She was an American psychologist.
Interesting.
So Mary was the first female president of the American Psychological Association.
Okay.
And she was the first woman elected for an honorary membership of the British Psychological Association.
Wow.
Now, this is what is interesting about her, I think. She was the first woman to earn a doctorate in psychology from Harvard University. However, the university refused to reward her this degree because she was a woman.
Because she had a vagina.
Basically, it comes down to that. She went to all the courses. Vagina courses.
Yeah. So many issues.
She went to all the courses. She did all the learning, all the research. Work. They said, you are at this level. However, we're not going to kind of formally recognize this because you have a vagina. Very silly. So after completing her studies at Harvard, she was offered a PhD from a women's college that was associated with Harvard as a kind of, a backup kind of prize.
Yeah.
However, she rejected this, stating that it would not be regarded as the equivalent and doubting whether Harvard degrees would ever be offered to women now that an alternative had been offered.
Right, okay.
Obviously not the case now, thank goodness, but it kind of just showed her solidarity, I guess, and her integrity that she refused to accept this kind of second-rate
degree. And because of all the work she put in, you wouldn't really, on the flip side... blame her if she did accept it.
Yeah, and I think it was offered to 3 or 4 women, I think, at the same time, and she was the only one that rejected it. And of course, you'd want some recognition for this. Yeah.
But
I think it just shows kind of her integrity. So notable kind of psychological research. She invented paired associate learning, so that's where a stimulus is paired with a response. And it gives us insight into the kind of learning we do every day.
Yeah.
Like if you learn a new word, then you will naturally kind of pair it with a concept in your mind. So that's paired associate learning. And she also did some research into dreams, which I found very interesting because I love a good dream.
Yeah.
And she drew conclusions that there is little hidden meaning behind dreams. They're merely a reproduction of recent sense perception, which I find... quite hopeful, actually, given that my dreams are weird. So actually, yeah. They don't mean anything.
No, we do like to share our dreams, and usually they are insane.
Yeah, I keep a dream journal. It's interesting reading, I will tell you that much.
Yeah, oh god, yeah.
So yeah, that is my first person.
First lady.
Mary Whitton Calkins.
Googler.
Yeah, look her up.
If you want to know more. Okay, so should I go next?
Go next, okay. Yeah.
So I feel like yours are a bit more cultured, if you like, than mine. But I don't, you know, I don't care. So my first inspirational woman is Joan Jett.
Okay, yeah. That's a good one.
I think so. Mm-hmm. So Joan Jett is an American singer and songwriter, composer, musician, who is, she's best known for being the front woman of Joan Jett and the Blackhearts. Obviously you would be if your name is in the title.
Makes sense.
Although Jim Povolo isn't in
Jim and the Povolos.
So yeah, I couldn't think then. Yeah. And she's also known for forming The Runaways, mm-hmm. which could people have, you know, it has been said that they were the first all-female rock band. Mm-hmm. So basically, when we went to the BFI Film Festival last year, Scott and I was able to see Bad Reputation documentary mm-hmm. about Joan Jett. And as I was watching it, I realised how unapologetic and how refreshing that is to see a woman being so unapologetic for their choices in life, mm-hmm. for what they want from life. And I'm paraphrasing a bit here, but she said something along the lines of, when someone opens up the book of life, she wants to be recognised in it. She wants to make a mark on the world with what she loves to do. And it just really rings true with me. Mm. I'm very much want to feel like I've contributed to something in the world in some way. And hearing her explain it that way sort of just clicked with things in my mind. Mm. I deal with a lot of guilt for not necessarily wanting maybe the same things as family members or friends that I've had, sort of, you know, the getting married and having children, which is great for lots of people. Well, we've talked about, haven't we, how you know definitely know in the future you want them babies.
Mm-hmm. And actually, yeah, so especially I think that's kind of one of the massive things, that as you get older, constantly people, oh, you've got a boyfriend yet, are you getting married yet, oh, and you're having kids.
Yeah, exactly.
And then, you know, for someone that I know that I do want to take those steps, it's easy to kind of brush off and say, oh, you know, don't rush me and blah, blah, blah. But actually, for someone who knows that they might not want to, or they want to do other things, it's a difficult thing to react to.
It is really difficult, because you deal with the feeling of that somehow you're disappointing.
Yeah, like you should be doing these things because you are a woman.
Yeah, exactly. Whereas my mind currently, I suppose you could say that I'm too selfish. I'm too selfish. Mm. I want to be able to do what I want. Mm.
But you shouldn't have to say that you're too selfish. It's living your own life. That's not selfish, because you don't want to share it with children.
Exactly, and that's something that Joan Jett said. She's focused on her own situation. Mm. She, and then quoting here, it says, if you want to call that selfish, fine, but at least I know it. Mm. And then she says, I have a family and I get by. She has a family that she may not have pushed out of her or married, but she has a family. Mm. And that is how I feel with my very close friends and my family, obviously. And even my sister, who is married with my gorgeous nephew, she still gets asked, you know, when you've been going out with someone for a long time, when are you going to get married? And then, oh, you're married. When are you going to have a kid? So you have the kid. When are you going to have another kid?
It never stops.
It's never ending. And the prospect of that kind of exhausts me. Mm. You know, the thought of having to constantly live up to that next level of what we should be doing because we're women. Mm. And that's something that, for me, specifically, Joan Jett has sort of broken the mould for me. She's unapologetic with what she wants, which she shouldn't be apologetic anyway. But the big thing is she wants to make a mark. Mm. And I just completely admire her for that. And how she never, ever gave up. Mm. When Joan Jett formed the Runaways, there was such backlash because women weren't supposed to play electric guitar. She was like told that by a guitar teacher. And you just think how utterly ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And whereas a lot of people would go, oh, okay, I'll do this then. She didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And she pushed and she pushed. And when the Runaways dissolved, sadly, because I love their music, she just kept pushing. And yeah, I just have that, you know, you think about things that women have done to empower the generations to come. And obviously there are so many women that have done great things politically, you know, with regards to obviously like the suffragettes. And obviously there's no doubt these women have affected us incredibly. But for me, seeing someone who is still breaking that mold, and well, there's, yeah, she doesn't even acknowledge the mold, you know, and yeah, that's really empowering to me. And she says, there was one thing, so I'm just reading a Rolling Stones article. She said something like Led Zeppelin, so in a famous picture, Led Zeppelin are like grabbing their crotches. And she says, you know, but if you're a girl and you do that, you get called whore and slut and things like that. But she doesn't give a shit about that. Like, she knows who she is. She knows what she is. She knows who she is. So she doesn't let the words get to her. I don't know whether she did when she was younger, but from the look of the documentary, I get the impression that she never, ever gave a crap. And that is something I kind of want to aspire to.
Yeah, I was just going
to
say, I think that's something that everyone can kind of...
Stop
caring about what people think and say about you, you know?
Because she says, maybe it was my parents' fault for telling me when I was 5, you can do anything you want, which is incredible, by the way. Mm-hmm. I love that. She wanted an electric guitar, so they bought her an electric guitar. I think that's brilliant. She says, other girls can give up. I get it. People can be rude, but I feel like I was in it for life. And that is something that I'm trying to squelch my guilt for. I want a career and I want to make a mark and I feel guilty for it a lot of the time. But I constantly have her in my mind when I'm thinking, okay, maybe I will just get married, settle down, have a family, you know, things like that. But even when I say that I want to adopt, people are like, oh, how can you not want to be pregnant? I'm like, well, it looks awful. Personally,
it doesn't look fun.
But yeah, so Joan Jett, she is one of my inspirational women.
That's a good one.
And the documentary is amazing. Mm-hmm. Go watch it. I love her and I want to be her. There we go.
Cool. So my second one, I feel like we've also gone very different as in timescales, because this is a very, very, I was going to say old person, which she's dead now, but maybe I'll cut this bit out. From a very long time ago, we're talking medieval times.
Medieval or medieval?
What, did you say it differently?
No, it's medieval, but you said medieval.
Is that not how you say it? Oh, God. This is like Iguana all over again.
Why do you say things so? Who taught you this?
I don't know, my parents.
Medieval.
Yeah, but look, I've written it down here and it said you could sound that out as medieval.
Yeah, you could, medieval. But it's not. Medieval.
Okay.
I don't know how you got iguana, though, so...
Iguana.
Okay.
Now, I probably definitely say this one wrong, because this woman is called Hildegard von Bingen, which is an incredible name, by the way.
Anything with a von in front of it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Hildegard
is she German?
Yeah, you just saw that.
No, I didn't.
It's quite
obvious. Oh, I'm going to say,
Hildegard is German, yeah.
Yes.
She was a German nun, and she...
Okay, interesting. Sorry, it's an interesting... I don't know why I tutted then. That was ridiculous.
I didn't think that I would choose.
No,
unreligious person.
Exactly,
ever.
But no, go ahead. Yes.
She was a German nun, and she is generally regarded as the first female composer. Obviously, people have always been, you know, composing music, making music, but, I mean, hers was, like, the first written works, I guess.
Yeah.
Which is just very cool, you know? I like music.
Well, and it's interesting. It's interesting for the profession, if you like, if you can call being a nun a profession.
Well, exactly, yeah.
It's a life, isn't
we'll
it?
We'll go on to see what else she did later, and it's all very interesting. So Hildegard had one of the largest repertoires of medieval composers. She has about 70 compositions that are surviving, and then there's more that, you know, are just unreadable now. She composed a morality play, which is apparently a genre of medieval theatrical entertainment.
Okay.
So her kind of grand work, I guess, is called Ordo Virtutum.
Again. Why are you laughing?
Because I don't know how to say this. It's Latin. Ordo Virtutum.
Okay, yeah, no one really knows how to.
I'm sure some people do, but. So she composes as early as 1151. I just think that's so cool. As in, like, not 1151 in the morning, but like the year 1151. So long ago.
Yeah, it's that's crazy, it's isn't it?
Crazy amount of time, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's the earliest known musical drama. Now, when you think of, you know, musicals now, if I'm thinking of kind of like big, long musicals, I'm probably thinking like Fiddler on the Roof.
Yeah.
Very long. I've only made it through half of it, I will admit. Les Mis is quite, you know, a long one. How many songs or kind of pieces of music would you have in a production at most?
At most, I really don't know. I'm trying to think of Fiddler. 8 to 10.
8. Okay. See, when I was thinking about this, I was thinking maybe 20.
Oh yes, yeah, I really don't.
If it's like a sung through, you know, potentially true, we could have up to 20. Well, in this, she composed 82 songs.
Jeez.
Which, I mean, I'm not saying it was the right decision, and I hope she did have some intervals for people. It's a feat, I think, in itself. So yeah, this music, if you wanted to kind of look any of it up, one of the most famous ones I think is called O Frondens Virga.
Okay.
And
do we know what that means?
No, I haven't. Oh, okay. I mean, I haven't written it down, but I'm sure one could find out.
One could find out.
Yeah. It's just, I don't quite know how to describe it. I really love medieval music because it kind of sounds otherworldly to me.
It does.
It's just, yeah, kind of ethereal and enchanting, I suppose.
Oh, and it's especially very like Lord of the Rings.
Exactly. And what I always think of is in The Hobbit, you know, when they start singing Misty Mountains.
Yeah.
It's got that like long pedal note at the bottom, and it's just really, really lovely. And that's just what this song sounds like to me. And it's just so incredible, like, to me, that I'm rubbish at composing anything. My strengths lie in like sight reading, so it completely blows my mind how someone can just hear this piece of music in their head, you know. And, you know, in kind of later times, there's lots of now rules associated with, you know, classical music, and I mean contemporary music is kind of going off the grid a little bit, but
yeah, very far off the grid. I think not in a good way.
But for someone like this in the medieval times, when, you know, it was then like none of this was really around, and for her to imagine this music and to write it down, and it's just so incredible to me.
Sort of linking in with your first choice, for sake of argument, the people that, I don't know why this came to my mind, but who started, because one of the people that started the behavioural analysis unit in the FBI was a female psychologist, and there was no basis for it.
Yeah, that's really impressive.
Yeah, we work off what we have currently. That's very, very rare now that you can think of someone who's thought of, there's something original, if you like.
To push those boundaries.
Exactly, but
and especially in times where, you know, as a woman,
obviously,
it's so hard to do that.
So being, a nun.
Yeah.
And so you can imagine that's quite a sheltered,
exactly,
quite a sheltered existence.
Yeah, yeah.
And then having nothing to go off of.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
pretty
incredible.
Incredible. And actually, looking into her, because I had heard of her, and I kind of knew the musical side of what she'd done.
Yeah.
But when I was researching her, it turns out she did so much stuff. Like, you say nuns, you know, sheltered existence. Well, she did a lot in her little life.
Okay,
so
how much I know about nuns.
She was also a writer, a philosopher, a Christian mystic, and the founder of scientific natural history in Germany.
Oh my gosh.
And she wrote like two big works that just covered all manner of,
I mean,
of healing and science. It's just, it blew my mind.
I know how to use a mobile phone.
Wow.
Yeah, literally.
Well,
like,
write two massive works about it.
Yeah.
Interestingly though, she would,
and I don't even know how to use a mobile phone.
Interestingly, she would often make reference to herself as a member of the weaker sex. So
okay. But that's what she was raised to believe.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And actually, interestingly, she stated that her writing and her music came from God. So actually, okay. in her saying, I'm a member of the weaker sex, it gave her this authority to speak kind of like on behalf of God. Do you know what I mean? So she kind of used that avenue to speak in a time where women didn't have the authority to.
But God does.
Well, exactly, yeah. So people listen to her. That's probably, you know, it's not a moral of the story, is it? Because that's obviously bad. But and we don't know if she kind of used that as an avenue to get her voice
or
heard.
Or whether she obviously truly believed, I think. Yeah. Being a nun. Yeah. However, if that's what she gained inspiration from, her belief, then that's incredible, isn't it, really?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Yeah.
And I guess it's a shame that people didn't listen to her kind of in her own right. She had to say that, you know, these things have come from God, so you must listen to me. However, it still doesn't, you know, down to the effect of what she did and the work that she did and the music that she created. That was her that did that, you know?
Yeah. That's incredible. Yeah.
There we go.
So that's a good...
Hildegard.
Yeah.
Look up.
So we see...
Frondon's work.
Yeah. Look up Amy's, because they are cultured and obscure.
I feel like yours have more of an emotional connection.
Yeah,
you know?
I'm too emotional. Okay, so I've literally just noticed from Wikipedia, as you know, the source of everything.
All knowledge, yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, random people can't edit Wikipedia.
It's mostly one guy that does all of the edits on Wikipedia, and he hasn't been paid for it, he just does it out of his own, you know, the goodness of his heart.
Dude.
No, I like him! He's great, you need to look him up.
I don't want to! That sounds really sad! Why does he do it?
Oh, but we're lucky that he did do it, you know? I'm thankful to him.
Okay, yeah, well...
How did he know the information without having Wikipedia?
Did he know that he was going to help so many students with their essays?
Probably not, no.
According to Wikipedia, thank you, Mr...
I can't even remember his name, I'm so sorry.
Wikipedia editor. both of my choices come from Pennsylvania.
Ah, interesting. That's funny, a coincidence.
Okay, so my second inspirational female is Tina Fey.
Okay. Cool.
Tina Fey is one of my favourite screenwriters, and she just seems to be able to do everything. I really, really can't think of any work that she has done that I don't like. For me, who wants to be involved in film, wants to be part of TV, cinema, you know, in a writing capacity, she is someone that I refer back to. Mm-hmm. When I'm trying to think of a style, think of a story or anything like that. She's so self-deprecating in her work, and I love that. Her characters, like, so I'm watching 30 Rock through again for the 100th time, and her characters can be so cynical, like when she plays the teacher in Mean Girls.
Mean Girls, yeah, love it.
Yeah, so cynical, so self-deprecating, but really nice, really lovely, and hilarious. Mm-hmm. I think her and her husband, I think they're like a bit of a power couple because he's a composer and he helped compose a lot of the music for 30 Rock. And it's almost like, because I was actually talking to Scott earlier where someone said, oh, this person's a female director with her husband. I'm like, okay, why can't there just be her on her own?
Yeah.
You know, why does one have to sort of have the male influence, if you like?
Yeah.
But in this, something like 30 Rock and Mean Girls musical, that's her work. Mm-hmm. And her husband is, obviously they work together, but he's working on her project.
Yeah, yeah.
And I like that. So for me, she sort of has the best of both worlds because she's with a partner who undoubtedly supports her in her work, doesn't need to be
the top dog
if you like, but then they obviously have a very nurturing life together where they can inspire each other. I think that's wonderful. I digress from my original point, but yeah, Tina Fey, everything I watch, and I mean interviews, films, listen to the musical Mean Girls, she just can't do any wrong. She just can't with her characters and with that. And it's always so original. It's original. And I mean, I think you could say, obviously, that the film Heathers sort of could be an inspiration for Mean Girls, but she totally took it her own way. Mm. And I think it just sort of redesigned the American clique genre.
Yeah.
I don't know anyone who doesn't like Mean Girls.
I was just going to say, it's like a complete classic now. It is. Everyone knows about it, everyone quotes it.
Completely. And that film wouldn't have been as good, because the story's good. The story is great, you know. It's a standard story of someone joining a high school and getting involved with the wrong crowd and blah blah blah. But if her writing wasn't there to make the characters so specifically unique, then it could have just been another. I was about to say another High School Musical. That's not right. That's not. I've never even seen High School Musical.
Don't bother.
Okay, I shan't. But also, sort of in the flip side to Joan Jett, she also has what, you know, the people keep asking me, you know, when you're going to get married. She has that. She's married. She's got two children.
But so she's doing that and she hasn't kind of...
Compromised,
exactly.
Yeah, yeah. She hasn't compromised her artistic side for one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
And listening to her on interviews when she talks on... When she does her little feminist rants on SNL and things like that, and bitches get shit done. Her relationship with Amy Poehler as well, like their friendship, I think it's like us.
Which one am I?
I don't know. I'd like to think I'm Tina Fey.
Yeah, I should be Amy because her name's Amy.
That is true. Yeah. So really, you know, if you like, Tina Fey hasn't done anything that one would call
absolutely world changing.
Yes.
You know.
Like world changing. Well, neither of mine, you know, you could say. But they have, Tina Fey and Joan Jett, they have really sort of inspired me to be okay with me.
Yeah, that's
and
great.
That's a very difficult thing for me.
Yeah.
To be okay with me and what I want in life and where I am in life as well. You know, Tina Fey didn't get to where she is straight away. She worked really hard for what she had. She didn't stumble. I think a lot of, sounds awful, but I think a lot of writers now, a lot of writers, actresses, actors, I think a few of them, they just kind of stumble into it. They stumble and then they go, oh, I've been in this, so I'm now going to write a film or I'm going to write a TV show, and they've already got a name so they can do it. She worked really hard. I'm not saying these people don't work hard, but I just think it's a lot, you know, if you're in the right place, right time type thing. But yeah, she's worked really hard for it. She wasn't always where she is, and she still also gets to sort of live her life. She's not in the spotlight, you know. She's not massive there. She did they did the opening of the Oscars this year. So Tina Fey, Amy Poehler, and Maya Rudolph.
Yeah, love her.
And I just don't know why they didn't have them host it. Because I just think they are three of the funniest women. And yeah, they just bounce off of each other. And yeah, to me, she can do no wrong, Tina Fey. And just watching her in interviews makes me happy. And watching her characters makes me happy. And I think I'm more like Liz Lemon in 30 Rock than I care to admit. So to be like, oh, is that lettuce in your hair? Again? I love her.
Yeah, that was good.
So, you know, four very different choices.
Yeah, we've come at it from kind of different angles.
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting.
But that's what, you know, that's what's so great, because women have blazed so many trails.
And I was saying earlier, even you can just look around you every day and see, God, this sounds like something so cheesy. Oh, just look around
and
you.
Cry.
And you can just see, like, in my workplace, just how people kind of act.
I think you definitely have that in your workplace. You, because it's,
The nature of the job, I think you see so many kind of strong characters who are inspiring, I guess. I want to be as good with my job and put as much kind of passion into it, I guess, as those people.
Which is psychology based. And then, with my family, my grands have lived through the war. I'm very lucky to be have sort of a very, very patchwork heritage. Mm-hmm. I come from a lot of different places. And my mum and sister, they go to work to help children with complex health and care needs, children with ventilators, trachees, things like that. I couldn't do it. I listen to the stories they tell, and obviously being nurses, there are gross stories, which I don't really want to be dealing with. I struggle enough when Joseph comes up to me with a bogey or something. I can't do it. It makes me sick. But I mean, just in the emotional side of it, they're around children who are going to die. Mm-hmm. They've been with children that have died. And then they have their success stories. Mm-hmm. So there's always someone to take inspiration from.
And it's important to do that rather than, because it's again so easy to kind of look at people who might think, oh, they're doing a lot better than me, or oh, I wish I was like that. And then at the same time, kind of get bitter towards them and want to knock them down. When actually you can just look around and just take so much inspiration and things that you can add to your own life and that you can aspire to.
It's so true. If women spent as much time lifting each other as we do pulling each other down.
Exactly. And don't pull yourself down either. No. I'm so guilty of this.
Oh, God,
comparing and then hating myself and...
Social media is a very, very bad thing. We're going off on a tangent a little bit. Yeah.
But if you think to yourself, I bet that at least one person has looked at you at some point in your life and thought, wow, they're inspiring. It's a nice thought, I think,
That is a nice thought.
I hope that's the case. I'm sure it is.
I found you inspiring.
Oh, wow. Really? Yeah.
Not now. No, I did. I think there's always something to admire.
Exactly, yeah.
Even if it's just a skill.
Yeah, just a little thing. Or
your
the way...
flute playing.
Oh, thanks.
It's beautiful.
Beautiful.
Beautiful. Sometimes look closer to home. And like you said, we do have inspirational women in our families for magnitude of reasons.
Yeah.
But those were four that we thought we'd have a chat about.
Talk a bit more about. And I hope you maybe learned something.
Just know that just you do you. I think that's one of my big things.
Yeah, you for do sure. You. Yeah, we all need to listen to that.
We do. So let us know who your inspirational women are, if you like. Or if you don't want to, that's totally fine that's as well. Fine. thank you for
listening again.
Bye.
Bye.